je sais pas.
Welcome to Sounds of Awareness. In this half hour, we discuss attitudes and biases surrounding people with disabilities and issues of inclusion into all facets of American life. I'm Paul Van Dyke, inviting you to join us now for Sounds of Awareness. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sounds of Awareness. I can imagine a father getting a phone call at work and his wife saying, took Tommy to the doctor today, and the guy saying, oh, okay, what was the report? You know, it's kind of, there's something wrong. He's not behaving in a normal way, and various things, and you list all the things that Tommy does or doesn't do that a normal child, normal in quotes, does or doesn't do. And mother comes back and says, well, he's been diagnosed with autism. Our child is autistic. Well, now the question needs to be asked, who's going to take care of Tommy on the times when we're not home, when, for instance, between the time that he comes out of school and the time we get home from work, or, you know, at various times, who's going to, we're going to need some special help maybe? Don't know. Well, if you're in a situation similar to this, and you are the one out of 10 families in America that has a disabled child, or a child with a disability or some perceived deficit, there is help in hiring someone to assist with that time when the child is home and you need someone to take care of. The book is called A Stranger Among Us, and Lisa Lieberman is the author. Lisa Lieberman is our guest this morning, and I want to welcome you to the program this morning, Lisa.
Thank you, Paul.
Now, I hope I did a fairly adequate job on the introduction of the subject matter. Is there anything you need to correct on the on that?
Well, the only thing I would say, Paul, is that that everybody has differences, and some people happen to have diagnostic labels attached to those differences. And so often we talk about a child with some kind of diagnostic label as that there's something wrong. And I prefer to think of it as there's something different, so that we're more accepting of the wide diversity of people in our world, and that they all belong and they all have something to offer.
That's true. While I agree with you, the average person might say, yes, but some of the differences are pretty big. And so, you know, for instance, how do you include people in, you know, I mean, just in a general, I'm not asking for a specific answer here, but I mean, you know, the question arises, how do we include this person in what we're doing, and do we have to make a lot of changes and that kind of thing?
I think the biggest change, if you want to know the truth, Paul, is in attitude, and that attitudes are, some of the attitudes that people carry are the greater disability in our world. And that doesn't mean that there aren't accommodations that need to be made so that everybody can belong and participate and be included.
Okay, well, that actually is a point that I'm glad you're making, because one of the main points of Sounds of Awareness is to address the, as we say in the intro, and on the website, address the attitudes and biases surrounding people with disabilities. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, you obviously, having written this neat little book, and it's not a big book. It's not something you have to wade through pages and pages and pages. Well, what is it about? I don't know. How many pages is this? It's a paperback book.
190.
190 pages. Fairly nice size print. A Stranger Among Us. Who's the stranger among us?
Well, the stranger is the provider that is hired to come into the home and provide support for whichever family member has needs for special support. I personally am a wife to a man with a very advanced case of multiple sclerosis and a wonderful 17-year-old son, Jordan, who has autism. So I've been, my husband and I have been hiring in-home support for the last 18 years. And it dawned on me that we really had learned a thing or two, mostly from some of the mistakes that we've made over the years, in successfully hiring people who have become an integral part of our home, and the circle of our family.
That is a big job. I mean, you know, that's... I'm sure that over the 18 years, you know, you say you've learned a lot, because it's, you know, people talk about, boy, we just moved here and we need a babysitter, let's say.
Correct.
It's hard to find a good babysitter for your anybody, you know, but to have somebody who is particularly special that will accept the responsibility and the ideas of working with somebody who is got differences, that's got to be a real difficult thing. Now, you yourself, before we continue that line, I want to say you yourself have some special knowledge in the subject. You're a clinical
social worker. In private practice, yes. I'm wondering, Paul, if it would be okay if I read you a paragraph that from my book that really embodies the whole... the point at which I realized we really were going to have to start hiring somebody in-home.
Oh, absolutely. Go right ahead.
The phone rang. I was unearthing the contents of a box amid a formidable wall of moving boxes yet to be opened. Having just moved from out of state, few people had our new telephone number, so I wondered who could possibly be calling. I answered the phone expecting a wrong number. To my dismay, it was the family daycare provider where I had left my 2-year-old son, Jordan, less than an hour before. She insisted I come pick him up immediately, as he had been crying inconsolably for the past 45 minutes. This episode was yet another reminder of how our high-need child had never been able to thrive in previous group childcare settings. Although I desperately needed uninterrupted time to unpack, I quickly brought him home with the final resolve to choose a different path for childcare. It was no longer possible to ignore the emerging need to find care for him in his own home.
Oh, man. I'm glad we're not on TV, because I just had a shiver go up and down my back.
I think what you're hearing, Paul, is that mother bear process that takes over when we who have children... Well, any mother, I guess, but especially when you have a child with special needs, you feel such a commitment to want to protect them and not want to put them in situations where they're going to be uncomfortable or even abused to some extent.
Yeah, and part of the thing you mentioned there is also the, you know, it's like little kids who are 5 or 6 years old being... dropped off at a normally okay environment, but like a residential school environment, like the deaf school or the blind school or something like that,
or even a community daycare center.
Yeah, uh-huh. and the kid feels, I know from my own experience, having gone through a similar thing, you feel abandoned. You know, like mommy's put me away someplace. You know, mommy dropped me off here and left me.
Well, and I don't want to suggest that there aren't wonderful childcare centers where children are very comfortable and enjoy being there and feel like they belong, because there are parents who absolutely either have to exercise that option or they choose to. I don't mean that community daycare isn't a good option or a family daycare program. It's just in some cases they are not going to be equipped to handle the array of specialized needs that children with a variety of disabilities might have.
So how did you go about finding somebody? This is kind of the whole point of your book, A Stranger Among Us. And I have to say, when I first heard the title, A Stranger Among Us, I thought, guess what? You're going to catch me on a bias here.
What's that?
I thought The Stranger Among Us was the kid with autism.
Oh.
Not the person who came in to take care of the stranger coming into the home. I thought, you know, so that... See, right there, again, guy who's been doing this show for 12 or 13 years, and I still get caught
on my own little
things.
Well, I'm glad that we can help you to keep growing, Paul.
Yes, absolutely. This is my monthly therapy session here. We have guests come in and do this to me all the time.
Well, you know, when we first started... we have always had the most success, quite frankly, putting an ad in the local newspaper. But I've certainly fine-tuned my screening capabilities and our interviewing process, and I really felt it was important to lay that out. Before you even think about bringing somebody into your home, it is so important to do an analysis of who you are as a family, or as I call it in the book, what's your family culture? Are you a family who values your religion highly? Therefore, if that's the case, do you want somebody coming into your home who's of the same religion? And that may not be a priority for some people. There may also be a style of communication in your family. Are you a formal family and you want to keep the provider a little bit at a distance and keep a professional relationship? Do you want to be called by your last name? Those are all important things to think about ahead of time in defining the kind of person that you'd like to find before you even think about the types of tasks and jobs you would like them to fulfill. So in the book, I have a list of 9 questions that people can answer, and from those questions, they define the characteristics of the provider and then prioritize those characteristics, because you're not going to find somebody who has everything. You have to find the best candidate who can do the things that you believe are really the bottom line issues for you.
Wow. Well, at this point, I need to tell people you're listening to Sounds of Awareness on KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland. And you're getting an audio version of this on FVTV Channel 11 in Vancouver. And our guest is, and I'm going to try to get the name straight again this time, Lisa Ackerman Lieberman. Ackerson Lieberman. It's the Lieberman part that I... Okay.
You're not the first one.
Oh, yeah.
But my husband will appreciate it.
I know he will. Even if I did screw up one of the names.
No problem.
Anyway, but the book, I'm not going to mess that title up. This is a very important book, A Stranger Among Us. And who's the publisher? How do they get this?
The publisher is Autism Asperger Publishing Company, and there's many ways to get it. You can go to their website, which is www.asperger.net. You can go to Amazon and plug in A Stranger Among Us, colon, the first word, hiring, to come up with a book. Or somebody can actually get it directly from me if they want an autographed copy. And they would do that. But should I give my email?
Yes, do that, please.
Okay. The email is Lisa Lieb, LISALIEB as in boy, @ Hevenet, HEV as in Victor, ANET.com. And I do want to emphasize that this is not just a book about hiring for children with autism. It actually applies for children with any kind of differences. And quite frankly, it applies to young adults or as well.
Okay, we're going to give that information again in about 10 minutes. So if you've missed this, we're going to give you the contact information again at the end. And without sounding like an infomercial, which we sort of are, but this is a resource that I think is exceedingly important. And as Lisa said, it's about one out of every 10 homes in America has a disabled child or a disabled person connected, and this is going to be a resource that you'll really want to get.
Paul, maybe I could just talk a little bit about some of the things that I really emphasize that I think are important whenever somebody's hiring somebody in their home.
Please do.
Never should somebody hire out of desperation. It can come back to bite you in so many ways, no matter how great the need is. There are steps that really need to be taken for a person's own safety. For example, doing a reference check or doing a criminal check. But to avoid acting out of desperation, it's important that parents define their list of bottom lines and don't bend. Like, for example, you might have a bottom line that this person not smoke around your child, or that they have their own car and they have adequate insurance, and then you do a driving check if they're going to be driving your child anywhere. Again, each family is going to have different bottom lines. When we allow desperation to rule, it came back to bite us. We let a woman move in before we had completely finished her reference check and her criminal check, and didn't realize she had a problem with alcohol. She actually stole money from us, and it was devastating. Felt invaded. And even I, who have written this book, have made those kinds of mistakes. So I'm trying to protect people out there from doing the same kind of thing. Do you want me to keep going?
Oh, please do, yeah.
Another thing I'd like to emphasize is to trust your gut. No questions that you ask that candidate who's going to take care of this beloved person in your life, no questions are too personal. If something gnaws at you, don't ignore it. Even if you have to call a person back later after you've interviewed them.
Now, is that sort of a good technique if you're not really sure at the time, you know, of the interview? You say, okay, thank you very much. You know, sort of like they do when you're being checked out for renting an apartment. We'll call you back.
Well, it's more, I mean, in this case, it would be, I might call you back if I have more questions, you know, to even go that far. But you would like to think that when you spend time with an interview and you have kind of a checklist of your bottom line issues, or you're writing down some impressions you have of the person, that you wouldn't have to call every single candidate back. And incidentally, when I hire somebody to care for my husband, my son is no longer in need of this because he's almost 18 years old. But if I hire somebody, I completely forgot what I was going to say. See, we're even now.
Well, now, you mentioned your son being almost 18, and your husband has a different, you say your husband had a stroke, though.
No, he has multiple sclerosis.
Multiple sclerosis,
and
I'm sorry.
He's functionally quadriplegic and using a power wheelchair.
Ooh.
So yeah. He needs full-time care.
So when you're hiring somebody to deal with your husband, you said there was something maybe different than, I'm not sure where you were going either.
I am not sure where I was going either. So
that's okay.
This is a reflection of life catching up with me this morning.
There you go. Not enough coffee, I could have told you.
I should have accepted that extra cup. You're right.
Anyway, but no question is too personal, and no question is kind of out of bounds when you're hiring somebody to take care of your child or your husband or your whomever.
I do remember now what I was going to say. Thank you, Paul. The reason I said that my son is no longer somebody that we're hiring for at this point is because I believe it's so important when you're hiring for a child to involve that child in the process, or young adult. The person who's going to be supported by this person, they need to be involved as much as possible in that decision, even if they're not able to speak, because to not speak doesn't mean that you're not communicating, and there are ways that people can indicate their preference for somebody, whether they feel comfortable in that situation. In fact, there's a chapter in the book about how to involve your child in that hiring process.
Oh.
Another thing I'd like to say is that it's crucial to set boundaries and ground rules as soon as possible. Because it's harder to go back later and add rules once somebody has set a precedent. For example, do you want this person using your computer? You want them talking on the phone for their own personal use? And you can't possibly anticipate every single issue that's going to arise, and you have to deal with things as they come up. But the more that you set some guidelines ahead of time, the smoother things will go.
So I guess probably a good rule of thumb would be saying your time really needs to, you know, you're being paid to do this particular job, and I don't want you talking to your friends on the cell phone or playing Doom on my computer or whatever. You're supposed to be watching, or you're supposed to be, you know, available.
And actually, I recommend that those be written down and presented to a person when they're hired, so that they know exactly what's expected of them.
Now, are there times, for instance, when maybe the person is not the hired person, but the person that you're hiring for, let's say, has time to do whatever they do, you know, kind of not necessarily unsupervised, but you don't really need this intensive one-to-one thing all the time. You know, you just need somebody maybe to be there in the house in case something happens. What about those times?
Well, that's where it's so important to make a list of the duties you'd like, because it might be that person can do some dishes or do some filing, although that could be too personal of a task, or do a little housework, or start to prepare a meal for dinner. You're absolutely right. Our kids, just like anybody else, need downtime, and they don't want to have somebody hovering over them every minute of the day. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
You know, because, well, the reason I mention this is that sometimes when the average person tends to think of a person with a disability, and being hired to take care of that person, they seem, the thing that comes to a lot of people's mind is, oh my God, you know, this has got to be really intensive, and I've got to, you know, I'm going to be changing diapers, or I'm going to be feeding them, or I'm going to be doing the, you know, like, what am I getting into? And it isn't always like that. It isn't just this constant, got to take care of your every need, and, you know, please, my head itches, could you please scratch me, you know, kind of thing.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
So, I'm not making light of it or making it easy, but basically you're just being hired to work with another individual. Am I
and you really
seeing it that way, or am
yeah,
I
and you really
base?
Do become part of the circle of the family. It's a very unique situation, and with people getting older, living longer, there's going to be more and more need for this kind of a role.
Now, let's talk for a minute, if we can, about, you know, when we think of hiring somebody, we think of expense, and I'm wondering if you have addressed, and I haven't checked the book, if, for instance, we know that in some cases the state or the federal government has programs that will pay for people to go into a nursing home or to some sort of special thing. And I know the folks at MICASA have been working on, you know, don't institutionalize people, let them be at home. So, you know, in the case that I brought up at the beginning of the program, you've got mom and dad working, and who's going to take care of little Tommy in between the time that he comes home from school, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And gee, we don't really have, we've got house payments, we've got the car payment, we've got, you know, we don't have cable TV or satellite TV, we just got the regular old TV set, because we're not spending money on a lot of lavish extras. How do you address something like that?
Well, I didn't address it specifically in the book because every state, even every county, is different. But I can talk a little bit. What I know about is Oregon, because I live in Oregon. And there are some funding available. In Oregon, we do have a lifespan respite network, And if there's going to be money available to pay for these kinds of respite funds, that would be one really important place to check. And I'm sorry, I don't know about what's available in the state of Washington. But there's a number of ways. There's family support programs, and Washington may very well have respite funds available. There are subsidy programs through Medicaid when people qualify for that. There are individual nonprofit agencies that have funds available for respite. For example, the MS Society has a limited respite program to help caregivers pay for somebody to come into the home.
I wonder if Social Security disability covers that. That might be a question to...
Actually, it does not.
It doesn't?
No. It would be covered for somebody who qualifies for SSI on a waiver program where there's funding to pay for caregivers to come into the home, because obviously it's a lot more expensive for somebody to be cared for in a skilled nursing facility than it is in their own home with a caregiver coming in.
Wow. Lisa, you know what? We're at the end of the program already.
There's a lot to talk about.
This half hour has gone by very, very fast. Let's talk about the book again. We want you to get this because it's important, if not maybe personally to you, to somebody that you might know. A Stranger Among Us. And this time I'm going to do the name right. Lisa Ackerson Lieberman.
You got it.
The author. And give us your, again, it's available on eBay.
Or Amazon.
I'm sorry, on
Correct.
Amazon. I'm going to get the stuff straight. I'm glad you're telling me.
No,
here.
You're demonstrating that none of us are perfect.
I'm glad
that's
to be
a good
such
lesson.
A good example.
And I had given you the publisher's website, which is www.asperger.net. Or if anybody wanted to get an autographed copy from me, they can email me at lisaleib@heavenet.com, HEVANET, and the books cost $21.95.
Okay, and I hope people really will contact you. And
I welcome any questions people might have. You're welcome to email me with questions.
Okay, well, this has been great. And Lisa, thank you very much for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
Of Awareness. We will see you next month. Thanks for listening, everybody. Sounds of Awareness is independently produced for KBOO-FM and FVTV Channel 11 by Paul and April Van Dyke. All rights reserved. For more information about our program and guests, please visit our screen reader-friendly website at www.soundsofawareness.org. That website again is www.soundsofawareness.org. This is Paul Van Dyke inviting you to listen next time for Sounds of Awareness.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned. Coming up, Democracy Now! Thank you.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!, broadcasting from Doha, Qatar. Al Jazeera is demanding information on its...